Hi there, Good Word fam. It's Tisha Lewis near the nation's capital for the Good Word podcast. And joining us is Senior Vice President and General Manager of RCA Inspiration, Phil Thornton. Phil, thank you for joining us. We're super excited.
Awesome. Thank you, Tisha, for having me. It's my pleasure.
It's nice to chat with you. You hail from none other than the Commonwealth of Virginia. You are from Norfolk and also went to Norfolk State, correct?
That is correct. Shout out to the DMV. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, the Good Word podcast, we are taping via Zoom. Obviously, pre-pandemic, we tape from the Fox 5 DC podcast studios, but we are navigating and charging ahead amid these unprecedented times via Zoom, and we're still thrilled to bring you all jam-packed episodes as often as we can. Phil, I want to get right to it. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to. I know that you have a lot on your plate, and we've had some of your artists on our show, friends of the show, which is always wonderful, but we'd love to see what you're up to.
So much going on. A lot of great releases. We've got new music from Kirk Franklin out in the marketplace, Corinne Hawthorne. We just inked a new partnership with Pharrell Williams for his new Voices of Fire Choir, which is a part of his new Netflix series, which just launched. So a lot of great things happening on the Sony Music front.
You know, it sounds really exciting, and it's really something that's needed right now. You know, we're in uncertain times, and people just really want to feel good and uplifted and inspired. And that's something that we aim to do on the Good Word, is just give people a good word, something that they can hold on to, especially now more than ever.
Yes.
What would you say, yes. You know, you named a lot of different artists, but what would you say in terms of the direction that the music is taking now? It seems like everybody is doing a deep dive into inspiration, anything that can inspire.
Yeah, you know, I think it's now more than ever. We need something to hold on to give us some love, some light, some positive energy. So, what I've been pushing our creative team and A&R marketing, specifically our A&R team in this regard, to find and partner with artists and partners that are making music for 7 days a week. What I like to call life music, because we don't just need inspiration and positivity just one day out of the week on Sunday. We need artists and music that we can listen to around the clock, you know, 7 days a week. So I'm really excited about a new artist that we signed called Doe. She's amazing. She plays, you know, multiple instruments. She writes her own music, but her music is something that, you know, you can listen to it every day of the week. You can listen to it on, you know, in the morning or when you're working out or whatever, but I'm just seeing a need for more and more artists that are creating life music. So while it has an inspirational tone, and of course, you know, we have our more traditional leaning gospel roster, which we will always have, but I'm really looking for more people that are open to expressing themselves a little differently, just something that can transcend beyond just a Sunday morning.
Well, Phil, it's interesting you mentioned Doe, and we had her on the show. That was our last episode, was with Doe, and she was absolutely amazing. We had a fun time with her. You mentioned that, you know, you want inspiration and life music 7 days a week, not just on Sunday. And it's really, really insightful, because we've interviewed a lot of artists and actors and people kind of in front of the camera or people who are making the music, but very rarely have we been able to have someone on the podcast, on the show, that can talk about what's going on behind the scenes, the decision makers behind the scenes. So I want to make sure that, you know, we have a lot of people listening to us, and obviously, folks, you can be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Audioboom, and Google Play, and wherever podcasts play, but I want to give them some nuggets, you know, for people who maybe want to get into this music entertainment industry. What are you looking for?
On an artist level or an executive level?
On an artist level.
I'm looking for authenticity, originality, and just a certain level of just honesty in their approach, whether it's vocally or lyrically. But I always start with authenticity, because I don't want to try to make an artist something that they're not. I really want you, if you wear blue jeans, we may give you a different shade of blue jeans, or, you know, but we want to enhance and amplify what's already there. So often, you know, I have friends at other labels that, you know, they will really reconstruct an artist and change everything that was to me, great about an artist, or was more so in line with them. But I just want people that are authentic and really just have a passion and a heart, and you know, for God. That to me is really, especially in the gospel inspirational space, like you have to, like, because it's, you're not going to make, in comparison to that of like pop and hip hop and some of the more mainstream genres, it's, you know, you're not going to make that level of revenue, but so you have to really be in it for the right reason.
Yes,
so
yes,
that's super important, super important. And you can tell when those that are doing it just for strictly money is their sole motivating factor, and that's, you know, you can only fake it for so long. So yeah. I look, you know, just a few of the things I look for. So authenticity, you know, a heart for God, first and foremost, authenticity, just honesty, and just, but hardworking, and have some form of a team. Because, you know, we have a lot of a lot of artists that don't have managers, and mm-hmm. that sometimes is a challenge. Mm-hmm. And I know it's, we have, it could be a spouse, it could be a momager or a dadager, you know, and if that's what works for you. But I encourage you, whoever it is, have someone that knows the actual business, that understands how contracts are written, that understands what royalties mean, and publishing, and so forth, and how deals are structured. So if it happens to be someone that you're related to or married to, you know, God bless you. I tend to keep my business separate from my family in that regard. But again, just make sure it's someone that first and foremost understands the entertainment business.
Listen, me too. But you know what? You mentioned a good point about having a heart for God. And, you know, we are a faith-based podcast. And for folks who've been with us, who've been rocking with us since day one, you know, I don't shy away from that at all. You cannot fake the funk when it comes to gospel music.
Mm-mm.
And nope. That's something that's a little bit different that you mentioned, that you have to have a passion for this. It has to be real. And the days of creating and making a star, I feel like those days are behind us. And now people want realness. People want authenticity. People want organic, you know, music, and they want you. They want you for who you are. And so I love that you're sharing that with us. And you obviously have an eye and ear for talent. You know, congratulations on your Billboard 40 Under 40 award,
thank
the
you.
Stellar Awards Hall of Fame honor, 3-time NAACP Image Award winner. So you know exactly what you are talking about. And what really touches my heart is that you are from right here in the DMV. We have amazing, amazing talent and music coming out of the DMV. I grew up in this area. I grew up in Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church with Bishop Alfred Owens and co-pastor
yeah.
C. Owens. And I sang in the choir, in the youth concert choir. And a lot of the people that I sang with have gone on to do some amazing things. Jarmel Evans is an amazing gospel singer coming out of this area as well. And
absolutely, yeah.
Is an amazing actress that's coming out of mm-hmm. this area. And Jawan Murray is an amazing television personality. And we all sang together in the choir. And
you know, John and I went to college together. We both went to Norfolk State at the same time.
Wow, that's
yeah, a year older
John,
than
John. Yes, he's amazing, and he's doing some great things in the TV and entertainment world, and just a good friend and a good friend of the podcast as well. And so it's just really an area that's filled with so much incredible talent. And we want to make sure that we can, you know, give people hope. A lot of people are home right now. A lot of people are listening to this. And it's one of those industries that I feel like has so much mystique about it, getting into the entertainment industry or getting into the music industry or getting into the acting industry. And you seem to do it all. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
The journey for me started at the young age of 12 years old. That was the year I landed my first internship, Tisha. Can you believe it?
Wow.
So,
I can.
It was a hometown radio station in Norfolk, Virginia, WOWI. It was the R&B hip hop station that's still on the air to this day. It was independently owned at that time by a black man named Reagan Henry. And mm-hmm. he and his wife owned this set of stations, and WOWI was one of them. And they later sold it to iHeart, and you know, moved on, and you know, he's deceased now. But that's where I started my first internship, by calling simply the midday personality and just saying, "Hey, I love music. I love radio. I'm just so intrigued. How can I just come down to the station for a visit? And that initial visit turned into an internship during the year when I was 12 years old, that summer.
Wow.
So, you know, in the 90s. And, you know, followed up, my second internship was with Arista Records. So I had the pleasure of, you know, meeting and working with everyone from the late, great Whitney Houston to the Notorious B.I.G., Outkast, Usher. I mean, a lot of just the mid-90s artists that were really thriving under that Arista umbrella. I was right there on the front line. And in touch with some of those people to this day. I still, you know, Faith Evans I met during that time, and Total, and a bunch of people. And just,
classic.
You know, so I'm yeah, so classic era. So that was second internship, went to Norfolk State. I'm giving you the accelerated version, Tisha. Mm-hmm. So I went to Norfolk State and started doing college radio, having a good time. And that's actually where I met John Murray. And then I graduated in 2003, and I moved to New York and started my own management company. So I was managing an artist at the time who actually, she's got some DMV history as well, Lil Mo. I was managing her, co-managing her with Mona Scott, who at the time was at Violator. And so working with Mo, and I was doing some consulting work with the group 112 that was popular around that time. So that, you know, you remember that? Take you back, right?
Yes. just a little popular, right?
Yeah, just a little popular. And so, you know, but it was good. So I was also managing like a number of songwriters and producers while living in New York. And in 2006, I always say it was God, because I had no real plan to, you know, go to LA. I was content with being in New York, but I heard a voice say, go west. Mm-hmm. And so I moved to LA, literally broke the lease in my apartment in New York, moved to the West Coast, didn't even have a place to stay. All I had was the clothes on my back and whatever clothes I had in a little suitcase, and was staying with a buddy of mine who lived in Inglewood, who was gracious enough to let me sleep on his couch for 3 weeks until I found an apartment. But it was a reset moment for me. And that was 2006. And I literally was like, okay, I'm going to continue to manage. So I started managing, you know, this young actor, you know, Tristan Wiles at the time. And then there was another young actor I was managing. You might have heard of him. I think he's the people's sexiest man right now.
Michael B. Jordan.
So Mike and I go way back. I was managing him, and we just concluded that we should just probably remain friends. So I was managing a number of people. Mike was one of them. During that time, I met some amazing people on the songwriting side. You know, one of them being Bruno Mars and Phil Lawrence, who I actually collaborated with and wrote a few hit records with. And then I started my television career. And so that is where I started to develop and cultivate myself as a producer. And I credit my good friend, Datari Turner, who's done some amazing television and film projects over the years, but that's who pretty much pulled me in into the TV and film world. And it just started with one show on this baby network, actually based out of, you know, Maryland, the TV One network. Mm-hmm. And it was a show I did called I Married a Baller that starred NFL Hall of Famer Eddie George and his wife Taj, who's one third of the group SWV. And we did that show. I didn't go to film school as that. That wasn't part of my journey. So Datari and I, we learned on the job how to produce. Mm-hmm. And that show turned into two shows, was turned into three shows. And I mean, the rest is history. So I just continued to produce. And in 2012, I relocated from Los Angeles to here in Nashville, Tennessee. And that's where I took a position at E1 as a vice president of marketing. Was later elevated to general manager, worked with Layla Hathaway, worked with Pastor Shirley Caesar, Kelly Price. So I was doing both gospel and R&B at E1. And then in 2016, Sony Music called for me to run the RCA Inspiration Division. So Tisha, that is the most streamlined version I could give you. I hope I didn't.
Sure. No, you know what? That is an excellent version. And what I love about it is when you said you moved to LA with just your suitcase, sleeping on a friend's couch, because sometimes people leave that nugget out of the version that they share with the public. And so I'm so happy that you were able to be so candid about that. What I do want to know is, how did you make the shift from secular to gospel, because we're talking about Faith Evans and 112 to Pastor Shirley Caesar. How did you make that transition?
You know what? I always love to give credit to Coco. Coco of the group SWV. I was managing her during her solo period, and she wanted to do a gospel record. And that gospel record was released in 05, 06, and it was an album called Grateful. Mm-hmm. And that was my first introduction into the gospel music industry. Like, I had no, you know, I've worked in R&B and even pop by way of some of my marketing background with some of the labels. So I was terrified, because I was like, yes, I'm a believer, and I went to church, but again, I didn't know what to expect. So Coco was my first introduction. So as working with Coco, I started to meet more and more people in the gospel community. And next thing I know, I was managing Dorinda Clark Cole, the legendary Clark sisters. I was managing Jessica Reedy, who was a runner-up from BET Sunday Best season 2. Mm-hmm. And so just, I started finding myself. So I was like, okay, this is interesting. I still have my R&B roster, like Faith and Kenny Lattimore and some other people I was managing. And I was just like, there were more and more gospel people calling me. And I just started to learn some of the people on the radio side and in the media, and I just saw the community. And that's what prompted E1 to call me, because I at that time was managing 3 of their artists, and they said, hey, you know what? We'd like to have you on our side. And, you know, I'm a very stern manager, and I stand by my clients, and mm-hmm. you know, I push to get what I believe they deserve. So, mm-hmm. But they wanted that expertise on their team in house, and they made me an offer, and I said, you know what? Hey, I'll relocate to Nashville. And it was a move that I don't regret. So that was how it started, though, was back with Coco and just, you know, management, and then it transitioned and, you know, evolved to a label executive seat, which I never saw myself working at a label. Like, I mean, my internship in the teens was at a record company, but I love being an entrepreneur. I love being my own boss. And so I just never thought I would be able to be a part of the structure of corporate, you know, and running and having a team, you know, at a label. That wasn't part of the plan. But again, God had a greater plan. And that's why I always tell people God has such a sense of humor. Because when you think about just this this young person from Virginia and the journey I've been through, and I think about all of the people that I've met, Tisha, along the way. When I met a young Michael B. Jordan, I met a young Pharrell Williams living in Virginia, mm-hmm. and full circle, I've known Pharrell since I was 15.
Wow.
He was working with Teddy Riley.
Wow.
Pharrell was with Teddy doing him and his partner, Chad Hugo. Chad lived in the neighborhood next to my neighborhood.
Wow.
So I would go over there to when they were recording and producing tracks out of the studio garage. So he had a room over the over the garage where they used to make a lot of those early tracks if they couldn't go over to Teddy's spot. So just to look at that, again, that's God. I was 15. Fast forward now, we're 25 years later.
Listen.
And now I'm partnering with him for his Netflix series, and I'm the record label, and we're working in tandem, both from Virginia. It's just crazy. So it's not crazy. It's God.
It's God. It's nothing but God. And this is just so wonderful. And I was just, you know, while you were sharing your story, it's like, look at you now, look at where you are now, look at what God has done, you know, through this journey. And now, and listen, if he can do it for Phil, he can do it for anyone who is listening.
Amen.
Right now. You know,
amen.
And that's really what the truth of the matter is. Phil, we ask everyone who comes on the podcast to share a good word with our listeners and our supporters and our friends of the show.
Oh, a good word. Jeez. There's so many I want to say, but I will say, really, I have a vision, because I, even to this day, I set goals. I write down a vision. I literally write it down. I still do vision boards. I'm not doing the electronic ones. I actually do the actual real vision boards, but I write down, you know, my goals, and I write down the steps to get in. And again, the goals are based on, for me, on a 1 year, a 3 year, 5 year, and 10 year basis. But I encourage everyone listening, set goals. Really think about, where does your purpose and your passion intersect? Where is that? What is that? Is that music? Is it something of the arts? Is it something totally different? Is it something in science? I mean, I don't know, but you have to really identify where does that purpose and passion meet? And from there, really start to develop a plan on how to achieve success. And success looks different for every individual. But for me, I've learned, write it down, have follow-up, and I hold myself accountable. That's why I write it down. So I can look back to say, okay, 6 months ago, I said I was going to do this. A year ago, I said I was going to do this. And just to see the progress or lack of. And that is super important as well, because you have to hold yourself accountable. But I set real goals, I write it down, and I really surround myself with like-minded individuals and collaborate. And I'm not afraid to partner with people that are like-minded and our visions are aligned to figure out how we can get to the finish line together. That's often sometimes people are very territorial with their vision. And again, I've learned that you really are only as valuable as the team that you're a part of or your partner in that respective case. So just a few gems that I would just share though, but please set those goals and write it down. Like I'm telling you, one of the goals, just to tell you, Tisha, was I said I wanted to sell a show to Tyler Perry or do something with Tyler or Oprah Winfrey this year. Do you know what happened 2 weeks ago? I sold a show to Oprah Winfrey. Wow. That's something that just happened. I have not even, this is the first time I'm acknowledging this publicly, because they're going to make a formal announcement in the very near future. But that was something on my vision board. That was something in my written down plan of what I wanted to accomplish in 2020.
Incredible. Incredible. Listen, have a purpose, have a passion, have a plan. Yes. I love, love, love to see it. I am so, so thrilled that we were able to connect and have this conversation on the Good Word Podcast. If folks want to reach out to you or learn more about you, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram at Philionaire, like, you know, millionaire, billionaire. Just put a PH on the front, like Phil, Philionaire1911 on Instagram, or Philionaire across Twitter and all other platforms. So, yep, Philionaire.
Awesome. Phil Thornton, General Manager, Senior Vice President for RCA Inspiration. Thank you so, so much for joining us on the Good Word Podcast. We wish you well. And we are
thank you,
thank you.
Thank you, Tisha. I appreciate you, my DMV sister. And I hope to see you soon in person after all of this pandemic stuff prayerfully slows down. But thank you so much.
That would be wonderful. Thanks, Phil.